came onto my mind: talent and anointing. And I started to think on these two words: what is talent and what is anointing? And the Lord took me way back into the Old Testament, and I found out that anointing speaks of the oil. And oil comes out of crushing. It comes out of crushing. What do you mean by the word crushing? Crushing doesn't mean that you go into a machine and you crush yourself and say, I'm anointed. The word crushing means that you go through some pain in life. You go through some problem. You go through some suffering. You go through some trials and temptations and bondages and hard life. A life that crushes you. A life that you're so frustrated that it's crushing you. And the more you get crushed, the more oil you give. In the West, it's just the opposite. There is a lot of talent. There is a lot of skill. There is a lot of things that go on. But God is looking for anointed men and women. God is not looking for people who can act out a message, dramatize a message, be an entertainer, be a comedian. And God is not looking for spectators who come into the house of God, come, sit, go, watch, coffee, snacks, hallelujah, and go back home. But tonight I want you to pray to the Lord. It's a difficult prayer. Tonight you pray and say, God, crush me. Make me go through some terrible times. Make me go through some sufferings. Make me go through some sickness which is not fatal. But on that bed, I'm lying down, and God will speak to you things that you've never heard of before. It's when a person is sick, when a person is in trouble, the word of God comes alive to him. He values the word of God. He starts thinking on the word of God. He starts writing down. I mean, I have got more messages on my bed. I've got more messages when I went through terrible times in my life than in Australia when I'm just sitting relaxing and having a coffee. And God says, I'm not going to give you the word here. I want you to get crushed. And that is my prayer in life. God, crush me. Make me go through hard times. Make me go through hard times. Because it's the hard times that create the character in you. That motivates you, that fashions you or changes your total being, and you become a man of God. And it's the anointing that breaks the yoke, not the talent. So if you're anointed, if you've gone through some terrible times, when you lay hands on the person, he will be healed. Jesus said, you go to all the worlds and make them disciples, and you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He was talking about anointing. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. It was all about anointing. The disciples were illiterate and ignorant. These are two biblical words. They were illiterate and they were ignorant. So much so that Peter was a professional fisherman, but he couldn't find that fish. He couldn't fish that night. All his professionalism and all the lisms failed. And then he looked at Jesus and said, well, we've fished all night, we've got nothing. And Jesus said, this is not your talent. It's your anointing that will get you the fish. You got to be crushed. So I want to share something tonight about the question, are we willing to change? Are we willing to change? We hear, I mean, this is an era of preachers all over the world, I tell you. You go on Google, you go on YouTube, you go on Facebook, everybody is preaching. You have great guns, you have big preachers, you have small preachers, you have women preachers, and you have men preachers, and you have children preaching, ladies preaching. There is so much of preaching going on. And we listen to a lot of preaching. We enjoy a lot of preaching. You enjoy when your pastors preach in this church. But the question still stands. Are you willing to receive that preaching and change yourself? Changing is important, because out of all the preaching that you have heard, if you are not changing yourself, it's like throwing water on duck's back. And that is why Christians, they go to the church every Sunday probably. They listen to the world-class preachers. They know the inside out of the preachers. They know the message. They know everything. But they're not willing to change. It's a very simple thing. If I were to lead in singing, for example, and if I were to tell people that David danced with all his might, are you willing to dance with all your might? Are you willing to theoretically dance in your mind? I saw a man in the church and I asked him, "Brother, I was preaching in the church and I cracked a few jokes, but I didn't see you laughing." You know what he said? He said, "I laughed in my heart. I was laughing inside." I said, "I'm yet to see a man laughing inside, because if you laugh inside, you got to at least smirk. You got to at least show your teeth. Where is the joy?" You know what? Satan targets your joy. He takes away your joy. He kills your joy. He wants to finish your joy. And because once the joy is over, it is finished. You are dead as a Christian, no matter what church you go to, no matter who your pastor is, no matter what version of the Bible you have, no matter what you are dead. And God is looking for people who will say, I will change. I have seen people in the church, beautiful songs, but they stand like statues. They don't sing. That is not a sign of change. Because if you go through crushing, if you are going through problems, you are going to sing. You are going to worship God. You are definitely going to bow down and kneel down in prayer, because you're going through terrible times. And that is why when people go through terrible times, they are the ones who come to the church and they sit in the front, not at the back on Facebook. They're sitting on the front because they're hungry and thirsty for God. I've had a lady in the church. She was barren for I don't know how many years. And she was a non-Christian lady. She heard that there is a church in this vicinity, in this suburb. And people over there, they pray to a God whom I don't know. And so she walked into the church and she said, "I don't know your God, but I am barren and I'm a non-Christian. I'm going through terrible times in my life. I've been ridiculed by my husband and by my family members. My neighbors dislike me. They curse me. And the only thing left for me is to commit suicide because I don't have a child." And I said, "Don't you worry. You've come into the right place. You are being crushed. And when you are being crushed, you will give out the oil. And that anointing is going to break that yoke." And so she came up. She came up. And she lay down prostrate on the ground. We were singing, we were worshiping. The church got over, she was still on the ground. And then I looked at her and I said, "Lady, for how long are you going to be on the ground?" She looked up, that non-Christian lady said, "I'm going to be there on the ground till I feel that warmth running into my body, till I hear from your God that you are going to be pregnant." And she was there. She was there. I tell you, boy, she was there. She was, ask my son, she was there. We had to sit for her. It was from 10:30 a.m. in the morning till 5 o'clock. She was there. She was weeping and crying and weeping and crying, like Hannah wept and cried at the house of God when Eli was a high priest. She looked like she was drunk. Today, oh boy, the anointing has broken her yoke. She's delivering and she's asking, "How can we stop this factory that is going on in me? Producing children, I need to stop. And she's asking my wife remedies, how to stop this. And we are talking about the husband. And I don't know what's happening, but she's producing. Crushing will produce the anointing, and anointing will break the yoke. So when you're anointed, and when you are moving in the anointing of God, anointing is just not study. It is just not studying the ingredients of the oil that God told Moses to make. Cassia and olive and a bit of this and a bit of that and some cinnamon and some here and some there. It is not head knowledge. It is something that you can act on. When you're walking in the anointing of God because you are crushed. Ask God to crush you. Ask God to take you on the bed and you lie down and you look to heaven and say, "Lord, I'm going through a bad time in my life." Ask God to make you poor so that you know and I know what poverty is. So when you look at a person who is poor, you will get it, you will know what poverty means. Ask God to make you sick so that when you meet a sick person, you will feel him, that you were also sick. And so you will lay hands on that person and you will feel the power flowing out of you. You see, Jesus was walking. And the Bible says that there were a lot of people who were touching him. But this lady, she was suffering from the issue of blood for many, many years. For 12 years, she was suffering from that issue of blood. And so she walked up to Jesus. And she was very fragile, very delicate, because her life was flowing out of her. And she moved up. And when she moved up, she tried to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And Jesus said, Somebody touched me. And Peter said, oh, come off it, man. Though you, people are falling on you, Jesus. Everybody is touching you. He said, no, that somebody has touched me. And then he realized that this lady has touched him because power flowed out of him. And I want to tell you, God's people, Jesus was like that olive seed, olive tree. He was crushed for us. He was crushed and he was wounded for us. And then he gave out the oil. And when you get, he's an example. So when you get crushed, you give out the oil. And when the oil comes out of you, you're able to move in that anointing in the presence of God. I read a lot of stories about John Hyde. And he used to pray so much that they named him as Praying Hyde. Praying Hyde. And he used to go to big crusades and big conventions. And his autobiography and his people tell about him. That when his plane used to land in that city where the crusade was, the demons would run away and healings would take place. That's anointing. That's anointing. I'm looking for those times in this present moment. I'm looking for a power-packed service. I'm looking for people, when you are worshiping, they're just falling off without anybody touching them. Today, it's a game. It's a game. If I touch you and you fall, I am anointed and I can go home and sleep. It is not in your touching and in your falling off. The anointing comes without even touching you. The anointing comes without even touching. You will fall in the weight of the glory of God. I'm looking for those times when illiterate and ignorant people will stand up and deliver the word of God, and signs and wonders will follow. I want to tell you, God's people, start praying this prayer for your country and pray, Lord, I want to be ignorant and I want to be foolish and I want to be nothing and I want to be an absolute useless. I want to be a zero for you. Please use this zero for your glory. And the first thing God will tell you, I want to crush you. I want to crush you. When you ever ask God to use you, he will take you through a process of crushing. He will take you in the wine press and he will crush you there. And when God crushes you, you know how he crushes? You will have people coming and telling you, this is not the right thing that you are doing. You will have the man of God coming and telling you, you are not doing the right thing. This is not how you should live as a Christian. You are being crushed. God will tell you something that you will not like. We preachers sometimes preach like whatever you like, we will preach because he wants you back into the church. But God will teach you, tell you something that you don't like, because that is where he will crush you. And that is where, when you yield to the will of God, there was this song that we were singing, have your way in me, have your way in me. And it's a practical aspect. And when God begins to have his way in you, the first thing that he will do is to crush you. At that time, are you willing to change? Are you willing to say, Lord, I'm here? Mary was willing to change. Mary, when she heard that the angel has come and said that you will be pregnant before marriage. In the olden days, if a lady was pregnant before marriage, she was stoned to death. Mary was in danger from her friends and from her relatives and from her neighbors. She would be stoned to death. But she said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. And I want to tell you, as the child Jesus grew in her womb, she must have gone through a lot of crushing. She must have gone through a lot of agony. She must have gone through the same agony as Hannah went when she was barren before she gave birth to Samuel. She went through a lot of trouble. But when the child was born, he was anointed. He is anointed. He lives. He died for us on the cross. He is the King of Kings and the Lord. When you get crushed, you produce anointing. When you go through terrible times, you produce the power of God. No matter whether you are trained as a Bible theological seminary, whether you've gone through big things and you've got big books in your house, it doesn't make any difference. It is the crushing that will give you the anointing. And no matter how much illiterate you are, no matter whether you know your language, whether you don't know anything, you know your culture, you know nothing, all that is important is that I know Jesus. And when I know Jesus, when I move in that anointing, when I move in that power, great things happen. God's people, it's the hour that you pray and say, Lord, I want to see great things happening in my church. Lord, I want to see signs and wonders in my church. Lord, I've had enough of sitting down. Lord, I have enough of praying and looking at the blood moon and waiting for you to come with my lap on my, with my hands on my hips, and I'm just waiting. Lord, I want to see great things happening in this country. And I want to tell you, when you change your prayer, God will say, change yourself. Change yourself. Change yourself. Are you willing to change? If David danced with all his might, are you willing to dance? How many of you have freaked out in dancing ever in the church? On a fast number, on fast songs. How many of you have really danced with all your might? You know what the Bible says? David wrote in that psalm and said, God has surrounded me with songs of deliverance. Songs deliver. Songs carry the anointing. Praise and worship is just not a thing in the church. It is just not entertainment in the church. It is just not expressing your talent in the church. It is just not for us to come and sit and watch people playing instruments and enjoying a perfect music and perfect harmony and perfect etc., etc., and then go back home. These are the songs that can set you free. God's people, you need to know the power that songs carry. God's people, you need to know the power that these hymns and these words and these songs of worship carry. They are enough to deliver you. When you are going through terrible times, when you're going through problems, sing a song. Start singing the song. These songs are meant to set you free. Have you ever experienced and have you ever sang songs in the darkest hour of your night? When you are set free. Songs carry the anointing. But God will say, I want you to change. I want you to change. You've been quiet with your lips tight when people are worshiping, but I want you to change now. I want you to open up your mouth, because when you open your mouth, I will fill it. I will fill it with my presence. I will fill it with my anointing. I will fill it with new tongues. I will fill it with power, so that when you will speak out power. That's it. Am I willing to change? Am I willing to yield myself in the hands of God? Am I willing to give myself in the hands of God and say, Lord, here I am. When Paul, on the way to Damascus, met Jesus, he fell. And he said, Lord, you bruised me on my knees. Is that what he said? He said, Lord, you hurt me. I fell on that gravel and it's bruised me all over. I'm wounded. You know what he said? The Bible says that he said, what do you want me to do, Lord? That's the first thing he asked. What do you want me to do, Lord? That means he was willing to change. He was willing to change from all his egoism, from all his persecution, from all the things that he was doing against Christians. He said, I'm willing to change. And the first thing that the Lord did was to blind him for 3 days. He was blinded. He couldn't see. It's better for me to be blinded than to see the filth of the world. I want to tell you, God's people, blind yourself with the worldly things. Blind yourself with the things. We don't see the glory of God. We don't see the power of God. We don't see Him face to face because we are too much into worldly things. And God says, change. He says, change. He says, come out. By the rivers, there's a song, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down when we remembered Zion. How come you are remembering Zion? Why aren't you in Zion? You are remembering Zion. And where are you? Well, you are in Babylon. And that is the problem with many Christians. Sunday morning, they are in Zion. 6 days, they are in Babylon. If you believe that, say amen. 6 days, you are in the world. We are doing things of the world. We are into our own smoking, drinking, alcohol, drugs, abuse, whatever, so and so. Sunday morning, we come. It's very difficult for a person who lives dual lives to enter the house of God and sing. Because the Bible says that those who took us captive asked of us a song. Somebody takes us captive. Somebody takes us to Babylon, out of Zion. And then he asks for us to sing a song. I'm in Babylon and he's asking me to sing a song. And then he said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? That means Babylon is a strange land. And the word Babylon means sensuality, materialism, sin. We live dual lives and that is why we lack anointing. We live dual lives and that is why there is no power in us. That is why when we lay hands on the sick don't recover. That is why our words are powerless. That is why we don't carry the authority that God wants to give us through crushing and through the aspect of change. I want to tell you, God's people, change. Martha was willing to change. Naaman, he was a leper. And he came to this man of God. And he said, I want to be healed. And the man of God said, well, you know what the Bible says? The man of God never came out of his house. He was in his house. He sent his servant Gehazi. And he said, you just tell that guy to dip in the Jordan River 6 times, 7 times, and he'll be healed. And the Bible said that Naaman was angry. He was furious. You know, I'm the commander of the king's army. I thought the man of God is going to come out and say certain things to me. And he didn't even come out. And he said, I'm not going to dip in the river Jordan. My rivers are better. And that's the problem with Christian people. When they hear the message, they say, no, what I think is better, I don't want to listen to the man of God. What I'm doing is correct. I don't want to do what the man of God is telling me to do. What I'm doing is right. And and Naaman was angry and he started to leave. But one of his servants came and said, well, if he told you to do a difficult thing, would you have done it? He said, yeah, of course, because I'm the commander. He said, he gave you an easy task. Dip in the river Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. And Naaman said, yeah, I think he's right. So he goes into the river Jordan and he dips over there 7 times and he comes out willing to change. Willing to change apart from my ego, from my pride, from myself, from my attitude, from what I think, from what I think I am right. And it is my thinking, God's people, it is time for us to change. It is time for us to smile when you are in the house of God. It is time for us to clap and rejoice. You may look like a lunatic, not a problem. David also looked like a lunatic. We are lunatics, do you know that? By the way, we are peculiar people. That's it, brother. We are peculiar people. Have you ever shown some peculiarity in the church? Have you ever shown some peculiar things in your family get together? Or do you just enjoy their company? If they are drinking, I'm also drinking. No, I'm a different person. I maintain my standards. My standard is very high. I'm a royal priesthood. I belong to the royal family. When you move into public, when you move into your workplace, when you're talking to people who don't know Jesus, maintain your dignity, maintain your standard, maintain your respect, because the Bible says that you are an ambassador. You are an ambassador. You are representing heaven on earth. And God banks on you. Jesus looks at you as an ambassador. But when this ambassador does foolish things and is not willing to change, it hurts him. It hurts him. I am willing to change. Joseph was willing to change for Mary. The wise men changed their route. I like that. The wise men. Oh, you talk to any wise man in this world, what will he say? How will he talk to you? He will talk to you like, oh, you are foolish. I am wise. Wise men, when they saw the angel in the dream, they changed their route. If wise men needed to change their routes, how much more do we need to change our way of living? We need to change our way of living. We need to change the way we think. We need to change the way we read the word of God. We need to change the way we come to the church. We need to change the way we worship the Lord. We need to change the way we pray. Don't ever give God a list of things that you need. Give God the things that you need. Don't. I just go to God and ask Him for things. Don't ask God to give you difficult tasks. Ask God to crush you. Ask God to take you on to the mountaintop. Climb on the mountaintop. Ask God to give you problems in life so that you see the crushing and you give out the oil. Great preachers, great anointed men and women of God, they've gone through terrible times. That's why when they stand and they deliver and they preach, anointing flows. And it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. People were willing to change. The shepherds were willing to change. Jesus was willing to change. He gave up all His glory and in Hindi we have the word Jalal. Say Jalal. Jalal, J-A-L-A-L. Jalal means glory. He gave up all His glory, left in heaven, and He came down and became a nothing. He became a man of no reputation. That's what the word of God says. He became zero. If God was to tell you, become a zero for me. D.L. Moody was preaching one day, and this Queen of England, she came up and she said, I want to receive the Lord in my life. And D.L. Moody said, roll on the floor. Roll on the floor. She got annoyed and she went away. The second night she came and she said, I want to give my life to the Lord. And she said, roll on the floor. You mean to say in front of all these thousands of people, you want me, the Queen of England, roll on the floor? She said, yeah. She goes back, very angry. The third night she comes, the last night. And she says, I want to give my life to the Lord. He said, roll on the floor. Then she asked, why are you asking me to roll on the floor? He said, that is a sign of humility. That's a sign of humility. You need to humble yourself. Get down to nothing, become a zero for God so that God fills you up. God will never fill you up with His things. God will never fill you up with revelations. God will never fill you up with power because He sees we're already full up. You can only fill up by emptying yourself. So how about tonight? Empty yourself before God. Kneel down and cry and say, Lord, I'm sorry because I've been living in everything that I need for myself. I've been living in comfort. I've been living in luxury and I've been living in this and that. But I want you to crush me. I want you to take me through terrible times. I want to change, Lord. And when you make that prayer, God will work in your life and you will see a great difference. Jehoshaphat was facing an army. He was facing three armies. Ammonites, Moabites, and a bit of Munites. Terrible armies. Ruthless people. And Jehoshaphat looked at the army and said, I cannot fight. Lord, I cannot fight. And God said, you will have to change the strategy of your fighting. And he said, the only thing I know is to take bows and arrows and spears and shields. And this strategy, I know how to ambush the enemy from the back and the left wing and the right wing and the middle wing and then the last wing and then that wing. I know all the strategies of how to fight. He said, no, you got to change your strategy. Your strategy would be you have a worship team in the front. And Jehoshaphat said, I don't think so, Lord. I've heard from you. What? Come again? You want a worship team with guitars and a keyboard and a tambourine and a harp and a lyre and a drum? And you want me to do what? He said, put them in the front. He said, oh, come on, God. Now, there's something wrong with you, basically. And when God talks to us in a strange way, totally out of context, we put that thought away because we are so stereotyped of listening to things that please us. We want God to answer what we want him to answer. But God is a different God. He says, I'm going to tell you that you have to change. And when you change your strategy, you will see the difference. And so he had to change himself. People must have laughed at him. His worship team must be laughing at him. He said, what are you doing, Pastor? You, Jehoshaphat, hey, Jay, you telling me to line up over there in the front with the drum? Hey, Jay, I've got a broken string. You want me to put a new string in my guitar and line up in the front? If anything happens to me, you better watch out. But his worship team was in the front and God was changing the strategy. And I want to tell you, God's people, you are different people. Don't you ever live with the people of this world. You are meant to be eagles. Don't ever live with the chickens. Don't follow the chicken culture. Amen. Don't follow the culture of the heathens. Don't ever compare yourself with what the heathens have and what you don't have. You are high above. Your calling is high. You are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You are a people belonging to God. You're a peculiar people. You are a class apart people. Instead, bring them to your culture. Bring them to your level. And you can only do that by putting an example. And so this army goes up and they're singing songs. And the Bible says that God sent ambushes and the enemy was defeated. And I want to tell you, when you plan to change yourself, tonight is a night when you say, Lord, I want to change. Lord, I want to change. Help me to change. I want to convert. The only thing I knew about conversion is you become a Christian from a non-Christian background and so you are converted. But you need conversion today. I need conversion today. Just kneel down and say, Lord, convert me. Lord, change me. I want to be a zero. I want to tell you, God's people, let us empty ourselves out with all the ego and the self and the offense. I got offended. And with all the attitude problem that we have and I have, I'm including myself in this, by the way. We need to change. We need to be from something to absolutely nothing. If Jesus can change himself, surely we can. Let us change. Let us change. Let us just close our eyes for a moment and ask God to change you. Let us just close our eyes for a moment and ask God, God, I want to change. I want to change. I want to change. I want to change. Take me through hard times. Take me through difficult times. Crush me, Lord, so that I give out the anointing. I give out the oil that has the power to break the yokes. Lord, transform me. Lord, change me. I'm converting myself. Lord, help me to change. Job lost everything. And in the end, the Bible says that he knelt down and he worshipped God. He worshipped God. He was crushed, absolutely crushed. And what came out of his life was worship. You don't worship God without being crushed. People who are crushed, they worship God. People who have lost everything, you see them worshiping God. We have everything here, so we don't value worship. We have everything here, so we don't value the presence of God, because we are surrounded with so many other presences. Let us ask God to crush you. Let us ask God to change you. And when Job was crushed, he started to worship God. Can we all stand enough to our feet? For those of you who would like to sit, not a problem. But for those of you who can stand, just lift your hands up. Just lift your hands up and say, Lord, crush me. Lord, I'm willing to change. Lord, I'm willing to change. Lord, I'm willing to humble myself. Lord, I want to give myself in your hands. Lord, I want to become a nothing for you. I want to be a zero for you, Lord. I'm emptying myself of all the pride, of all the anger, of all the things that you don't require from me. Instead, Lord, I'm giving myself into your hands. Thank you, Jesus.
I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender.
Sing it out, God's people, like you've never sung it before. Sing it out loud and clear. Let God hear you singing.